friends, and welcome to my treehouse. My name is Misadventure, and I am so glad you're here with me today. You can grab a hold of the rope ladder and climb on up to join me. Watch your step, and grab a cushion to sit on. Here at Misadventure's Treehouse, I love having fun, being silly, sharing stories, making new friends, and in the process, learning what makes Jesus so special, and what makes us so special to Him. Before we jump into today's story, I need to say a huge, huge thank you to all of my friends who entered the story creation contest. Each one of you did an amazing job writing your story, and some of you even illustrated them. I couldn't pick them all, but I want you to know that God has given each of you incredible talent, and you've done amazing work. I can tell you've put in so much effort. I received stories about horses, farmers, cheetahs, alligators, and airplanes, shrinking dinosaurs, a guy named Bob with 11 brothers, also named Bob, wolf cubs, garden bugs, skunks, giraffes, and monkeys, and even a real-life story about how God answered a prayer and helped Isa's family when their car broke down. You guys, God is so good to have given you each such creative minds and great writing ability and the power to stick with it as you wrote your stories. Never give up and keep up the good work. And our three winners of the contest are Grace, age 7, from Tasmania, Australia, Emma, age 9, from Montana in the USA, and Owen, age 8, also from Montana. Very soon, you will get the privilege of hearing their stories. Also, I have a favor I need to ask of you. It's actually a question I would love to hear your answer to. If you could ask any character from one of our stories any question, who and what would you ask? And if it's a silly question, I'd really like that too. If you can think of one, ask your parents to get an audio recording of you asking this question and have them send it to me. It might sound something like this. Hi, my name is Judy from Maine, and I would ask Hugs, what's the funniest dream you've ever had? Or it might sound like this. Hi, my name's Steven from California, and I would ask Annie, what is something silly Marty has done? In an upcoming episode, if all goes well, I'd love to have one of you interview one of our podcast characters. Wouldn't that be fun? One of our characters would answer your question. Okay, let's get into today's story. If we've been friends for a while, you've most likely already heard today's story. It's Elo's story, again, except this time it's all in one place. I've put each of the 7 parts into one story, so if you have a long road trip to the beach or mom and dad need a nap and you need something to do for a while, you can listen to it all together without a break. So here goes. Enjoy Elo's story. The full story. Elo sat down at his desk. As he grabbed his black pen and leaned his forearms upon the wooden desktop, the weight of his body made the old desk creak. Elo gave an expectant smile. It was at this old desk that he had created many worlds through his words. Worlds where heroes fought villains. Other worlds full of giggling children and chirping birds. Worlds so full of love that it could be felt radiating from the pages. And still other worlds made of candy and ice cream. As he took pen in hand, he knew the story growing inside of him today would be no less special. Maybe even more, if that were possible. Elo had a bushy gray beard, dark skin, and hands as rough and worn as his old desk. And more importantly, he was a creator. No matter what he did, he could never stop creating. It was in his blood. The need to invent and imagine and create. Despite his attempt to retire and settle down in the humble home that he had built for himself on the mountainside many years ago, he wasn't himself if he wasn't creating. And when he wasn't designing a flying car or testing his latest attempt at a time-traveling machine, he found himself at the old desk, creating in a different way, through his words. Elo looked at the blank paper in front of him. It held so much possibility. A world waiting to be created. It was a responsibility that Elo didn't take lightly. No, his creation, the worlds he fashioned, were always well-crafted, designed with so much thought and intentionality. It was as if they were real, not just words on a page. In the neatest handwriting, almost as if he were typing, these words fell from his imagination, through his pen, onto paper.
A dazzling light shone from above, as pure and brilliant as the white dress of a bride.
And as the words hit the paper, they burst forth to life. Elo closed his eyes and found himself no longer sitting at his desk staring at words on a page. He was standing amidst the brightness of the light his words had just created. Its warmth consumed his entire body and gave him such peace. He opened his eyes and wrote again.
Fluffy white pillows of cloud, as soft as cotton, floated by, dampening the sun.
He closed his eyes and smiled as he found himself basking in the coolness of the shade.
The clouds turned from white to light gray,
he wrote. Drop, drop, drop. Rain began to fall, at first in a pitter-patter, and then in a downpour. Closing his eyes, Elo could feel his body being drenched by the rain. His eyes watched as the water pooled together, forming rivers and ponds, and dry ground came up between them.
The water foamed as it rushed past.
Elo smiled at his words, this new world that was being born. All of a sudden, Elo heard the roaring of water as he wrote.
The river ran to the edge of a rising cliff and poured over its edge, dropping from great heights in a majestic waterfall.
Then mountains rose up to the clouds as he penned their names. His hand wrote more quickly than ever as he noticed a need for trees and plants. The seed of ideas in his mind sprung into giant trees, making a canopy over the river and the waterfall as his pen touched the paper. Tiny green sprouts sprung from the brown earth. They grew and stretched into flowers as tall as Elo himself. Red and orange blooms came into view. Elo took a slow breath, enjoying the beautiful fragrance of the flowers. Purple tear-shaped flowers drooped from the tops of trees, producing deep purple berries. Tender yellow petals near the forest floor were covered in raindrops, and green grass stretched up from the ground as if trying to reach to the sky. Lily pads covered the pond, the brightest green circles resting on the water. The rain stopped, and the sun shone brightly again through the leaves of the trees.
Ribbit. Chirp, chirp,
he wrote. Frogs and birds had come out to play with so many other creatures as they had been called forth from the pen of their creator. Elo's breath caught in his throat. As he closed his eyes over his ink-covered page, he saw everything. He was both holding a pen in one world and feeling the sunlight on his skin in the other. He felt everything, heard everything, smelled everything. His senses were stirred by his creation. The rainforest scene he had created was breathtaking. But it wasn't the scene itself that made a joyful tear come to his eye. He wiped it away with his rough old hand. It was the creatures for whom the scene had been set that brought the tear. Yes, the scene was set for his best creation, the ones ready to call this new world home. It was all for them. Every vibrant color, smell, sound, feeling, and even creature that burst from his heart onto the page. Elo sat his black pen back on the desk and picked up a green pen, giving his gaze briefly to the red pen beside it. Both pens he had created, invented for just this story. They had incredibly special purpose. And oh, how he was excited to use them. They would make this story the best story he had ever written, and even ever dreamed. He picked up the green one and held it in his hand, and paused. If all worked as planned and hoped, The green pen would do more than create a scene, as the black pen had done. It would do more than create characters, as he had done in previous stories. This pen, if all went as planned and hoped, would bring his characters, the love of his heart, the gem of his story, to life. It would give them unbelievable power. Power to make decisions and to create just as he did. Power to choose their own story. Elo let out a purposeful breath, a breath full of life, as his green pen began to write.
Walter and Jasmine awoke for the first time to see the most gorgeous rays of sun breaking through the giant leaves of a treetop canopy.
To his amazement, as he had only dreamed it would, the pen he had created began moving, pulling his hand along with it. Was he the one writing? Or was it Jasmine and Walter writing their own story? Or some mix of the two? He closed his eyes and looked at his beautiful creation, Jasmine, the cutest two-toed sloth with a mind and a will of her own, smiling brightly as she swung from the top of one tree to the next, and her equally cute sloth friend Walter watching from below.
"Go, Jasmine, go!"
cheered Walter as Jasmine flew through the sky, only briefly grasping onto each branch as she moved to the next.
"You're the fastest animal in the whole rainforest!"
"I made you this way."
Elo spoke quietly with the most contented smile heard in his words.
"Oh, you did? Who are you?"
asked Walter, looking behind him for the voice.
"Elo, your creator too."
The two sloths rushed to see who was speaking, but they couldn't find the source of the loving voice.
"Where are you, Elo? And what is a chelator?"
Jasmine stared at Walter as she spoke with a surprised look on her face. A giant laugh boomed around the forest. Not a scary laugh, but one that filled even the plants and trees with happiness.
"Creator, dear friends, I'm your creator. That means I lovingly made you. You sprung forth from within me."
"Wow, Elo, sir, thank you. Where are you?"
"Everywhere. I'm here writing your story with you. Even though you can't see me, I'll always be here."
"Great," shouted Walter without a care in the world. "Watch this."
Walter the sloth grabbed a hold of a tree trunk and shimmied his way to the top with lightning speed. When he reached the top, he leapt, somersaulting his body four times before landing on all fours. He then cartwheeled across the forest floor when a thought came to his mind. He stopped, standing on his hands while the questions sprinted past his lips.
"Elo, why did you make us?"
With another laugh, Elo answered,
"You were welling up in my heart, bursting to come to life. I made you because I love you."
Jasmine jumped from the branch she was holding onto and somersaulted straight into Walter's outstretched back legs, as if they were trained circus acrobats. The whole sight thrilled Elo.
"You're perfect," he said.
Jasmine looked up. She spoke in more of a statement than a question.
"And you made us. So what does that make you?"
Elo kept the green pen firmly in his hand as he let it move across the paper. Walter and Jasmine spent their days exploring the land Elo had created just for them. He watched and talked with them. They learned more every minute about themselves and about him. They were, in fact, the most acrobatic animals in all the rainforest, and the fastest, too. Not even the hummingbirds were faster than Jasmine and Walter. And Elo? He was fascinating. He was so big and mysterious and loving beyond their wildest imaginations. He was perfect. And he was always teaching them something.
"The bongo berries found in the very top of the trees, eat those. They give you the energy you need to move among the treetops. Without them, you will not be able to run and play and dance as you do. I made them just for you. Enjoy.
They never got tired of hearing those words. I made them for you. Everything in this beautiful home of theirs was for them. And at Elo's direction, they ate.
Walter, these are delicious.
Sure are.
I wonder what else we can find that Elo made for us. Maybe we could learn about him. Want to explore?
Sure, let's go.
As they descended through the branches all the way down to the ground, they noticed a parrot, a toucan, several bright green tree frogs, and a dark blue butterfly fluttering between flowers. They spent hours running through the forest, inspecting every new thing they saw with great curiosity.
Look, Jasmine! Elo, what's that?
Walter was intrigued by a scaly creature with four legs, a long tail, and a sleepy smile perched on a branch over the top of a flowing...
What's that?
Asked Jasmine, pointing at the river. Elo laughed again at their excitement.
That's a river. It's made of water. I made it for you to drink. And him? I named him Iguana.
Hi, Iguana. I'm Jasmine. And this is Walter. Elo made us and named us, too.
The iguana just stared straight ahead, relaxing in the sun. Together, the three approached the water's edge. Jasmine dipped her feet into the river.
This is cold!
She squealed as she bent down to take a drink.
Ah, I had no idea I was thirsty. But now I'm not. This is perfect, Elo, thank you.
Walter joined Jasmine and before drinking gave a quick slap to the water, purposefully splashing it on Jasmine's head.
Ha ha, the water jumps. Gotcha, Jasmine.
Elo couldn't help but smile yet again as he watched his beloved creatures play together in the water throughout the morning, enjoying one another. He loved their curiosity about everything he created. And he loved how they had minds of their own. Sometimes he would just sit for hours marveling at them as they played together. At other times, he loved to talk with them.
Jasmine, Walter, you are my most valuable creation.
And you're our most amazing chelator.
Walter had been having so much fun he forgot to get a drink. He put his lips to the water for the first time.
Wow! That's so refreshing!
Glad you like it, Walter. I made it just for you. Actually, I made it all just for you. And I created you to rule here.
They both looked at him wide-eyed, amazed.
Are you two ready for some more bongo berries?
Mm-hmm, always. Yum!
Together they climbed the tallest tree near the river in less than 2 seconds to find a large bunch of purple berries.
Elo, these are delicious!
Yes, they are. I created them just
for us?
Why, yes, for you. The bongo berries are just for you, to fill your bellies and your bodies with energy. Without them, you won't be the fastest creatures here. But not just that.
What else do they do? Do they help us rule the rainforest?
Well, yes, sort of. They allow you to hear me. I will always be here, but without the berries, you will not be able to hear my voice and to communicate with me. And talking with me will help you rule justly and rightly here in the world I've created for you.
Walter, usually the carefree one of the two, stopped eating and looked puzzled. Bothered.
You mean we could live without hearing you?
Since being created, the thought had not entered his mind or anything remotely like it. And it seemed absolutely crazy.
Exist, yes. Truly live, no. Just as much as you need the bongo berries for energy, you need to know me to truly have life. The kind of life that's more than living. The kind that satisfies you deep down to your two toes.
Well, the berries are delicious and they're always here, so there's nothing to worry about,
said Jasmine to Walter with a smile. They both grabbed another handful of bongo berries and relaxed in the warmth of the sunlight and their creator's voice. Walter and Jasmine didn't know their conversation was being overheard, but Elo knew. And he knew that since he was using his green pen, Walter and Jasmine would have to make decisions for themselves. Down below the tree, where the 8 bonga berries, lay a large, very slow, spotted cat, a jaguar. He stood to his feet, stretched and yawned, his sharp teeth on display. He began to walk slowly, steadily, away from the tree. Not because he was not in a hurry. No, despite his lack of speed, he was definitely in a hurry. He had heard all he needed to know for now, and he didn't want to be seen before he could come up with a plan. A plan to trade his slowness with the sloths and become the fastest creature in the rainforest. A plan to steal all the bonga berries and, with any luck, become the king of the rainforest. It had been 2 days since Stryker, the jaguar, overheard Elo talking about the bonga berries. He now knew that they were the source of speed for those two pesky sloths, but his mind moved just as slow as his body in coming up with a plan. If only I was fast, I could climb to the top of the trees unnoticed and get the berries for myself. But then again, if I was fast, I wouldn't need the berries. Except for the fact that it could stop Walter and Jasmine from being close to Elo. And if I could ruin their relationship, I could be the prince of the rainforest. No. The king! The ruler. The one that all the animals worship the way Jasmine and Walter do Elo. Stryker, you've gotta be sneaky. But how? The jaguar asked himself. If I could just get the taste of one little berry, then maybe I could use the speed to get them all. Maybe I need to watch those two and see if I can find their weakness. Yes, you're brilliant, Stryker, truly brilliant. You'll no doubt rule the rainforest in due time. He turned up his ears and sniffed the air. Where are you two? He asked as he slowly pulled himself up from the ground and began to meander in the direction of their scent. There you are, you good-for-nothing sloths. Stryker spotted the two friends playing in the river. He laid down on the ground and remained completely still, as not to be seen, and listened.
Race you to the waterfall?
You're on! Walter started paddling his arms and kicking his legs before Jasmine even heard his answer. The sloths were fast on land, but it didn't even compare to their speed in the water. Stryker waited for them to pass and then slowly followed behind on land, the wheels of his mind spinning, planning as he listened to their every word.
Beat ya!
Walter grinned as he looked to his left, Jasmine reaching the pool of the waterfall immediately after him.
But you almost won. Great job, Jazz. You too, Walter. Way to go. You're so fast.
Walter flipped onto his back and floated toward the water pouring over the cliff's edge. He held his breath and swam underneath the fall.
Jasmine, come look at this!
He shouted after coming up on the backside of the waterfall. Jasmine copied Walter and gasped as she looked where he was pointing.
It's beautiful! What is it?
Treasure, my friends.
The most brilliant colors, like a rainbow, shined from the crystals in the cave behind the falls.
Treasure I created for you to find.
Thank you, Elo.
With the amazing sense of hearing Elo created Stryker with, he could hear every word. And at the thought of a treasure created for someone other than him, his jealousy grew. So did his determination to do whatever it took to stop the sloths from loving Elo and Elo loving the sloths. He took a bite of the grass as he lay back down, without even a thought of how Elo had lovingly provided it for him.
Want to play prince and princess?
Asked Jasmine.
The shiny cave can be our palace. Yes, your royal highness,
answered Walter. Ilo watched as they climbed onto the wet ground of the cave behind the waterfall to play.
Jasmine.
She stopped mid-curtsy.
Yes, Ilo?
Have you forgotten why I created you?
To rule the rainforest, Walter chimed in, repeating what he had heard so many times from his creator.
And do you know then who you are?
Your creation?
Jasmine gave her answer timidly.
Yes, but more. You are real princess and prince. You don't have to pretend.
Their eyes grew wide, and Ilo smiled in a way they could hear in his voice.
Never forget to rule kindly, my beloved, and justly. Love the creatures and the creation I have made for you. And never forget that I am here to help you always.
They stood tall on their back legs, proud of the role Ilo had bestowed on them.
And that means you're our king.
As the words fell from her lips, Walter did the only thing he knew to do. He bowed in honor of Ilo. Jasmine followed.
I love you. No matter what, I love you.
Stryker covered his ears with his gigantic paws. He couldn't take it anymore. All this talk of love and privilege and being princes and princesses. This was his forest to rule, not Elo's, and certainly not those two detestable sloths.
I'll destroy those two. Then I can be the ruler here.
He wanted to be king. No, he would be king. Pride filled Stryker's heart so much that it began to swirl in a cloud around him.
No, I won't destroy them. What fun would that be? I do need subjects to serve me when I'm king, after all. What to do? Yes, that's it.
Stryker stood to his feet and began walking away from the waterfall, in his slow, steady way, scheming.
I must convince those two horrid animals that they are not a prince and princess. And that Ilo is not good. If I can convince them to not trust Ilo, that will hurt him more than destroying them. And I know just the way.
Ilo sat at his desk once more after a good night's sleep. With a heavy heart, he picked up his green pen, and a single tear splashed onto his page. He knew what was coming. He could have stopped it, could have picked up his black pen and written another, safer version of the story. He still could, but he made a choice not to. He could see the end and knew this was the story he had to write, the story in his heart, even if it would bring pain for a season. The pain was only for a moment and would bring joy greater than the pain. He glanced at his red pen, then picked up the green again, letting the ink color the page as Walter, Jasmine, and Ilo continued to write.
Prince Walter?
Yes, Princess Jasmine.
We see you to Iguana. We need to make sure he has food today.
And shade, Walter added.
Ever since they realized they were prince and princess, they had taken their role to rule the rainforest seriously, and with great kindness and joy. At the slightest feeling of tiredness, weakness, or hunger, they would return to the bonga berries at the top of the trees. It was there they met with Ilo and always found everything they needed to continue their mission from him, their creator, king, and best friend.
How are you, Iggy?
He stared off in the distance with a contented smile upon his face.
Here's a leafy green salad, just the way you like it, buddy.
Slowly, Iguana began to munch his green salad.
And here.
Jasmine ruffled the leaves above Iguana to provide just the right amount of sun and shade.
Have a good day, little guy,
Walter said as he patted him on the head and swung down to the river for a drink. Jasmine followed. Ilo delighted in the way they took care of the rainforest creatures, just as he would. They loved what he loved and were so much like him in their hearts.
Walter, I'm getting hungry. Ready for some berries?
Walter didn't need to say a word. He was always ready, and Jasmine knew it.
Elo, thanks for the berries.
You are most welcome.
For the first time, Elo's voice seemed sad.
They are good, but not everything in the rainforest is good. You two, guard the berries well. For you, they are very good and you need them because you need me. Need to hear my voice. And without them...
His voice grew even more sad.
Without them, everything will change.
Of course, Elo.
They finished eating. Jasmine followed Walter as they swung from branch to branch toward the forest floor near the river.
Talk to you later, Elo. Where to now, Jazz?
It was then that Walter, and not more than a second later Jasmine, noticed him. Their eyes stuck like glue to a spotted creature on the forest floor that they had never seen before.
Hello!
Stryker remembered his plan and changed his tone quickly.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. You're a beautiful creature. Who are you?
Why, thank you. As are both of you. My name is Stryker. I'm a jaguar, and you are?
He, of course, already knew their names, but he couldn't let them know that.
I'm Walter, and this is Jasmine. We're the prince and princess of the rainforest.
It took a lot of pretending, but at their pronouncement, Stryker stretched himself out with his head low and eyes closed, bowing.
Oh no, no need to bow. We're just creatures like you. We bow to Elo along with all of his creation.
Really? I thought you were a prince and a princess.
We are. We're Elo's special creation. He gave us charge over the rainforest. It's a big responsibility. We do our best to serve him well.
Stryker did his best not to gag.
This is going to be harder to pretend than I imagined, he thought to himself. And I think you surely do that amazingly well, he lied. Prince Walter and Princess Jasmine, what were you doing up so high in the tree?
We've been spending time with Elo. And eating bonga berries.
Bonga berries? What are those?
They're the best food in the entire forest. Elo made them just for us.
Wow. I've tasted some pretty amazing things in this forest. Are you sure they're the best?
Oh yes, Elo told us so himself.
Ah, I see.
It wasn't a question, but the statement left a question hanging in the air.
Well, I better find some food for myself. I hope to see you again soon, Prince, Princess. Enjoy your bonga berries.
He gave a slight bow again before they could protest.
We will. Please do come back this way. We come to the river to play at least once a day. We'd love for you to join us.
Why, thank you. Yes, I certainly will.
Stryker slowly continued on his way, the first part of his plan complete, glad to have an invitation to come back. His plan was working out just how he had hoped. A day passed. Jasmine and Walter awoke the next morning and set about with joy to do the job Elo had created for them, taking care of the forest. But first, they climbed the tree to meet with Elo. Yes, the berries were tasty, but they had come to love spending time with Elo so much that the berries were just a bonus. Midway up the tree to the berries, Jasmine stopped, remembering their conversation with Stryker from the day before.
Walter?
Yes, Princess Jasmine?
Do you think... could Stryker be right? Do you think maybe there are better foods in the rainforest than bonga berries?
No.
Elo told us those are the best and perfect for us, Jazz.
Yeah, he did. But...
She couldn't put the rest into words. Her heart wasn't so sure she could trust Elo anymore. Never mind that he had been nothing but kind and loving and their perfect provider. Something Stryker had said caused her to question his goodness.
"Hello, Princess. Good day, Prince,"
they heard from down below.
"Oh, hi, Stryker."
Walter quickly descended the tree to greet his new friend.
"You can just call us Walter and Jasmine. We're friends now."
"Oh, okay."
A smile slowly made its way across Stryker's face.
"Walter, Jasmine, what are you up to today?"
"Just heading to breakfast with Elo."
Walter had excitement in his voice. Eating bonga berries with Elo was his favorite part of the day.
"Oh, lovely. I would love to join you. But I am too terribly slow and weak to climb to the top of that tree. I'd love to see if those berries are as good as the ones I ate for dinner last night."
Oh, Elo said the berries were just for us, Stryker. Sorry."
"Oh." Stryker hung his head, looking very defeated.
"Walter, maybe it would be okay if he just tried one. Look how sad he is. Then he could tell us if they really are the best. I could bring one down after we're finished."
"But Elo said..."
"But look how sad he is. One berry won't hurt when we have so many, right? Don't you think Elo would want us to share? You know, take care of the rainforest creatures?"
"It's okay." Stryker used the most sad voice he could. "No worries. You guys go eat. I'll get some more tansy berries from the grove near the pond later. I think they're much better anyways. If it's okay with you, I'll just wait here for you two to eat, and then maybe we could go play in the river together?"
Stryker slowly sunk to the ground and looked up at them with sad eyes.
"Yeah, sure. We'll be back in a bit."
Before they reached the top of the tree, they both felt confused.
"Jazz? Do you think he's right? Maybe those tansy berries are better. And maybe they would give us powers even greater than speed. Maybe Stryker will let us go with him to try them after we play in the river."
"Good morning."
Elo's voice broke through their whispers. The thoughts within them, their doubts, and the plans they were making apart from Elo's provision made them uncomfortable around his voice.
"Hi, Elo." Walter was the first to speak, but not in his usual cheerful voice. "We're just here for breakfast."
"Walter."
His name was spoken with such tenderness.
"I know you and I love you."
Walter looked down, not sure how to understand his doubts about Elo when faced with Elo's words of love. Love for him.
"Jasmine, I know and love you. You are both my prized creation. Never forget that."
This time his words came with a sting, not joy and peace as usual. Jasmine wanted to grab the bonga berries and run, hide. She realized that Walter felt the same way when he grabbed a handful of berries and with his other arm started wiggling down the tree.
"Hi, Elo,"
Jasmine managed as she grabbed one more berry herself and followed.
"Not goodbye,"
Elo said to himself.
"See you later."
"Back so soon?"
"Yep."
Walter tried to hide the sadness and confusion inside of him when he spoke. He'd never felt this way and didn't know what to do. Jasmine plopped herself to the ground next.
"Stryker, I know we said we weren't allowed to share, but maybe one little berry wouldn't hurt. Then you can tell us if these are the best in the rainforest or not."
No, that's okay."
"Are you sure? They're really tasty."
But really, Jasmine didn't want to eat them anymore. Not when it meant she would hear Elo's voice. She didn't like the way being around Elo made her feel right now.
"Well, if you insist. You did say they make you fast, right?"
"Mm-hmm. The fastest creatures in the rainforest," added Walter.
Jasmine held out her hand with the last purple berry she had picked.
"Thank you."
As he ate the berry, his mouth was filled with the most amazing burst of flavor, and he felt his strength grow. He had energy inside of him that he had never had before. But instead of running like he wanted to, He managed to stand still a few moments longer.
Yes, these are good. But they are no match for the tansy berries near the pond.
He hissed out a lie.
Oh?
They had been questioning Elo's goodness, but now they had proof. He was holding out on them. He wasn't as good as they thought.
Well, let's go try them.
Yes, we will. Soon, prince and princess.
Stryker wanted to explode in laughter, knowing that he had won. He would soon not only be the fastest creature in the rainforest, but the ruler of it all as well.
How about after a play in the river?
Okay, sure.
Walter spoke, but the usual cheer in his voice was gone.
Actually, how about you two head on down? I need a rest for a minute, and I'll be right there to join you.
All right, see you in a minute,
Jasmine said as they turned to walk down to the river, this time noticeably slower than before. Rain began falling on the sloths. Elo made it to cool them off and remind them of him. But instead, the darkness in the sky, the wetness of their fur, and mostly the sadness growing in their hearts made them grouchy.
Hey, watch it!
Jasmine yelled at Walter as she splashed into the water. In his anger, he had pushed her into the river.
What did I do?
It's all your fault,
Walter said, not even knowing fully what fault he was finding in Jasmine, except that he felt his strength and speed slowly leaving. And he didn't like the way his heart felt about Elo, like Elo didn't love him anymore.
No, it's not.
Jasmine climbed out of the river and pushed Walter back, knocking him down. Stryker couldn't hold in his excitement and energy any longer. He took off faster than he had ever imagined in the opposite direction of the river, running at full speed. Then he returned, and using his claws and newfound speed, he ascended to the top of the canopy of trees in less than 2 seconds.
Mine, oh mine!
Stryker ate one berry, two berries, and then 5 all in one swallow. Before long, the entire bonga tree was empty of berries. He climbed down and up again onto the next treetop.
I must destroy all of the berries before Walter and Jasmine can spend any more time with Elo. But first I must make sure I keep a private stash of my own berries so that my speed will never fade.
Better yet,
I need to keep a seed and grow my own tree of them somewhere that the sloths can't get to.
Stryker quickly carried a mouthful of bonga berries to his cave and carefully spit them out, covering them with a pile of leaves for safekeeping. He returned to the treetop with a laugh and a full belly to use his new strength to squash and destroy all the remaining bonga berries in the entire forest. Then he blew his evil breath across the treetops. At first, nothing seemed to happen. But then, slowly, the tops of the trees wilted and turned brown. The purple flowers, where the bonga berries had hung just minutes before, drooped and died.
Take that, sloths! Elo! All the bonga berries are mine, and there's no way they can grow here again.
Elo took a deep breath and opened his eyes as he placed his green pen on the old worn desk. His heart felt as if it had been shredded to pieces by Stryker's claws as he watched his creation being destroyed, right along with his relationship with those he loved the most. He wiped a tear and looked from his green pen to the one sitting next to it, the red one. He knew this moment was the reason that he had created it, but it didn't ease the pain or stop the struggle. No matter what they tried, Elo knew that Walter and Jasmine could never find their way back to him on their own. He counted the cost and knew it was up to him. He knew the red pen was the only way. And soon, he knew it would be time to use it.
It was too your fault. You gave that berry to Stryker.
Walter tried to stand to his feet after Jasmine pushed him to the ground, but he couldn't. He was moving as slow as a tortoise and his body ached from his lack of energy.
What's wrong with me? Maybe you're the one who made Elo stop loving us.
There, she had said it. What she felt in her heart ever since Stryker's words sparked a doubt of Elo's goodness in her mind. She noticed her speech starting to slow down too.
I'm tired, Walter. You can do whatever you want, but I'm going to go eat some bonga berries. Even if I do have to see Elo, I know the berries will give me energy at least.
Though she was mad at him, Jasmine chose to follow Walter. What usually took them 2 seconds to reach the rainforest canopy now took more than 30 minutes.
Where are they?
Walter used his last bit of energy to panic as he finally reached the top of the tree. He was unable to pull himself to a sitting position and just hung from the tree upside down.
What do you mean?
Jasmine slowly peeked her head into the leaves of the top of the tree and felt the same panic grip her heart.
The berries are gone! Walter! Jasmine, it's not my fault. It's yours. I think that jaguar has something to do with this. And you gave him that berry.
Jasmine yelled, but it seemed to come out in slow motion as Stryker sprung from the ground to the branch beneath them in less than a second.
Well, hello, friends. Princess, Prince, how are the berries?
Stryker, what is this about? And how did you get so fast?
Have you forgotten so quickly? Bonga berries, of course.
But wait, they're only supposed to be for us, to make us fast. But what about the other berries that are better?
Right, those other berries. Yeah, those don't actually exist. But it doesn't matter now. The bonga berries are all mine. They belong to the fastest beast in this forest, me. And now, Prince and Princess, you two serve me. I'm the new ruler here.
But what about Elo?
Asked Jasmine, so confused about whose side she was truly on.
Yeah, what about Elo Shmilo? He doesn't care about you any more than I do since you gave the berries and now the whole forest to me. See you later, Prince. Princess.
Stryker returned to his cave where he had hidden all of the remaining bonga berries. As he ate another berry to renew his strength and speed, he carefully held on to its seed between his teeth.
I'll plant you right here, my precious, delicious bonga tree. And the speed you provide will allow me to rule this forest forever.
He dropped the seed onto the freshly scratched ground just below the hole in the roof of his cave. It was the only place in his home that received sunlight and rain.
This is the perfect spot for you to grow, and I'll never run out of you precious little berries.
As he backed away, the seed began to sprout and produce a shoot within seconds. Then he filled his cheeks with the remaining berries and moved them next to the newly sprouted tree.
Now, how will I protect you, my precious berries?
He lay down to watch his tree grow and thought.
Who am I kidding? I don't have to protect the berries. Those worthless sloths are so slow they can barely climb down the tree. And even if they do, I can catch them and destroy them before they reach my tree. And since there are no bonga berries, there's no Elo to worry about either.
Elo called the sun to peek out from the clouds and fill the air with tender warmth.
They need me. They need to know I still love them,
he thought as he watched his two beloved creatures.
The sun's too bright. I'm so tired. How could Elo do this to us?
Walter asked Jasmine.
How could he not guard our bonka berries?
Elo knew that they knew better. Knew they were aware of their own fault, each of them. But he also knew once evil was allowed in, it was so easy to believe the lies and to blame each other.
Yeah, I thought he was strong. He must be really weak.
They finally agreed upon something.
What will we do, Walter? What will we eat? I guess we'll have to figure it out ourselves.
No. Remember me, Jasmine. Remember my love, Walter. I still love you. I want to help you. Come back to me, please.
Walter paused as Iguana came to mind.
We could try these leaves, I guess.
He grabbed one and took a bite.
Ugh.
He almost spit it out of his mouth, but then remembered it might be his only source of strength and energy and speed, so he swallowed.
I guess we have to eat these until we can find something else.
I don't have energy to find something else, Walter.
Jasmine joined in, slowly munching on the nearly tasteless green leaves, the leaves that provided enough energy for hanging and eating, and nothing more. Life went on like this for months. Walter and Jasmine left the tree only once a week, at most, and even then didn't go far. The rest of their time was spent hanging, eating, and sleeping. That left lots of time to think about how life used to be, the fun they used to have, the way they used to be fast, the important job they once held as prince and princess of the forest, and their lost relationship with Elo. Those once happy thoughts now led to sadness and then anger that they were now purposeless and almost lifeless. What was it that Elo had said? Without him, they could exist, yes, but not truly live. To have real life, the satisfying kind of life, they needed him. Now, Walter knew exactly what existing without Elo felt like, and he hated it. He grabbed another leaf.
Jasmine, what's this?
He hung upside down, having only moved 3 inches in the last hour. He showed Jasmine the underside of the leaf. Her eyes grew big. There were words etched into the fabric of the leaf, written by the leaf's veins. They were as clear as day. But it couldn't be. Her eyes were probably playing tricks on her. She shook her head. She'd been hanging upside down too long.
Do you see it?
Asked Walter.
See what?
Jasmine lied.
What the leaf says. See? Please tell me my eyes aren't playing tricks on me, Jazz. Please tell me that you see it too.
Walter wanted so badly to believe.
Nope, I don't see anything but a leaf.
She lied again.
Jazz! Look, it says, I love you.
You're losing it, Walter. No one loves us.
No, I'm not. It's from Elo. I know it is.
If it is, it's old, left over from before, when we were prince and princess, and loved. But not anymore, Walter.
Walter slouched.
I guess you're right.
The lies they believed were so deep. Elo knew it didn't take long for them to take root in the deepest parts of Jasmine and Walter's minds and their hearts. But he wasn't going to lose his beloved creatures, not now and not ever. He would continue to write his love for them on everything. The sunrise, the leaves, anything and everything that might convince them of the truth once again. Elo opened his eyes and found himself at his desk. It was clean except for the green pen he tapped on it, the stack of papers that contained the story thus far, and the red pen. His eyes stared at that red pen.
It's time,
he thought. His heart was unbelievably heavy, but at the same time, filling with hope. A sob came from deep within him.
It's time to use your pen.
He spoke as if to the pen as he picked it up.
Nothing can keep me from loving you, Jasmine. Walter, I'll give everything for you. I'm coming for you.
And as he touched the red ink to the page, he noticed he was no longer at his desk in his old house on the mountainside. Instead, he stood on the rainforest floor next to the river. He looked at his hands, and instead of old, worn hands, he saw paws with two toes. Instead of dark skin, he saw dark fur. Yes, it had worked. He had written himself into the story and was on a mission to save the ones he loved. As the red pen scratched across the page, words were creating the sloth that Ela was becoming. He gave himself a new name, one fitting for his role as a sloth inside of this world. The name Elikai, meaning savior. For he was here to do whatever it would take to save his beloved friends from the destruction they allowed to take over their world. Elikai grabbed a hold of a vine and swung himself up to a tree branch. From one branch to another he swung, experiencing the world he had created in a different way, as a real creature with a real body. He felt the breeze through his fur as he swung, faster than lightning, toward the tree he knew Walter and Jasmine were in. And he felt the sadness that had covered the entire rainforest. While it was still beautiful and lush as he had created it, it was now surrounded by evil, as if covered by a dark cloud.
Walter, what was that?
They stopped munching on leaves to listen to the noise again, still hanging upside down as they had for months. It was a rustling noise they hadn't heard in a long time.
I think it's coming from that direction.
Walter's eyes looked to the side. Jasmine looked shocked, and Walter turned his head around to get a better look. Something very much like the two of them was approaching, and quickly. They froze, not that it was much different than their normal movement, as the swinging creature passed. They did not want to be seen, as their lack of energy provided no way of escape if this was a predator. Then a wave of unexplained joy welled up inside of each of them.
Was that a sloth? If it was, he sure has more energy than we do. Which means there must be Bonka berries somewhere. Let's follow him. Jasmine, how are we going to do that?
Right.
If we see him again, you should ask where he got his Bonka berries. Maybe he'll bring us some.
Me? Why can't you ask, Jasmine? You're the one that wants to know.
In all honesty, Walter wanted to know more than anything in the world. He just didn't like letting Jasmine know she was right.
I hear him coming again.
Before they could even get a good glimpse of him, the sloth, Elikai, stopped on the branch in front of them.
Hello?
His voice gave a spark to a fire long dead inside of Jasmine.
Oh, hi. Are you a sloth?
Walter tilted his head and squinted his eyes as he stared at Elikai. They could obviously both tell that he was. Except he looked full of life, swinging upright instead of hanging upside down, just like they used to be.
Oh yes, my name's Elikai.
I'm Jasmine.
She spoke more quickly than she had in months.
And I'm Walter.
It's good to meet you. I'm still getting used to the speed.
Elikai flipped his body to hang upside down, joining his new, yet old, friends.
Well then, don't hang upside down. Swing! Frolic! Don't tell him what to do!
Walter gave a sideways, hateful look in Jasmine's direction. Then he leaned close to Elikai, using all the strength that he had.
Where did you find the bonga berries?
All three sloths looked to the ground. There stood Striker, showing his teeth.
My, my, my. Where did you come from?
Striker said, noticing the third sloth in the tree.
Leave him alone, Striker. I guess you're right. I don't need to waste my time on another slow sloth. I've got bigger concerns as king of this place.
He growled and darted back into the thick forest, looking for other trouble to cause.
Isn't the sunlight beautiful?
Ilikai hoped he could remind them of all he had created for them and revive their love for him.
It's too bright, complained Jasmine, grabbing another leaf to eat.
Ilikai gave her a funny look and grabbed one himself.
You'll eat these?
He said, taking a bite.
Is there nothing that tastes better to you to eat?
He asked, again hoping to remind them of himself by way of the bonga berries.
There used to be.
Jasmine looked sadly toward the top of the tree where the berries used to grow.
Bonga berries?
He asked.
That's right,
answered Walter.
Where can we find some?
I'll show you soon, friends, but for now, I must be on my way. I'm on a mission.
Before he swung away, Jasmine noticed something in the way Ilikai looked at her. Something that made her heart skip a beat.
Okay, Ilikai. Please come see us again soon.
Jasmine's heart burned within her, so grateful for this new friend full of life and energy. He gave her hope.
There it is.
Ilikai swung above Stryker's empty cave, noticing the hole which allowed sunlight to fall upon Stryker's bonga tree. He looked at the tree, and with the authority of his words, he spoke to the seeds of the tree, removing their power to reproduce. Then, knowing Striker would return soon, he got to work quickly placing long limbs over the opening, and then giant leaves. He layered more limbs and more leaves until a sturdy roof was formed, blocking all the sunlight.
You've had power over my world long enough, Striker, but not for much longer. Its rightful king is here.
He stepped back and looked at his work. It would do the job he intended, blocking the light so that no more bonga berries could form. Stryker's speed and power would have a definite end now. Not today, but soon. Ilikai swung through the forest, away from Stryker's cave, to the top of the trees. When he got there, his heart dropped. Yes, he knew about the destruction that Stryker had caused, and he'd even seen it. But now, to be here in the midst of it, was almost more than he could bear. The tops of the trees still contained some green, but were singed brown and black. There were no flowers and absolutely no bonga berries. No way for his sloths to hear his voice.
Death,
he whispered. The scene brought tears to Ilikai's eyes, then sobs to his little body. The devastation that Striker had caused made him weep. Jasmine and Walter's hearts had been full ever since that morning meeting Ilikai. In fact, they had only stopped talking about him long enough to put a leaf or two in their mouths ever since.
Where do you think he came from?
No clue.
From Ilo.
Before they realized who spoke, Ilikai was hanging upside down next to Jasmine.
Oh, hi, Ilikai. How long have you been here?
Long enough to hear your question. I came from Ilo, too. He wrote me into his story.
You seem so familiar.
Ilikai smiled.
I'm glad you think so. Do you know Ilo?
Yes. Well, we used to. Until Jasmine gave that bonga berry to Striker, that evil jaguar, and ruined it for all of us.
Walter, it's not my fault.
She quickly changed the subject.
How are you so fast, Ilikai? I thought Striker destroyed all the bonga berries.
Oh, he did. They're gone. But I don't need bongas.
Really? Do you also hear Ilo's voice?
Wondered Walter aloud.
I do. And he wants me to tell you something.
Really?
Jasmine couldn't hide the hope fighting for space in her heart.
Yes, he wants you to know that he loves you.
I told you, Jazz, that leaf, that really was from Elo.
I'm not so sure. And he wants me to tell you that he's fighting for you,
not against you.
He's on a secret rescue mission to get you back. To pay for your wrong and to welcome you back as his friend again.
Oh, how they both wanted to believe his words. But in their minds, they could still hear Stryker's voice, too.
He doesn't love you any more than I do. You're worthless, Sloths. You gave up his kingdom to me.
I'm here as part of this mission. You've got to believe me. Elo loves you more than you can even comprehend. Still.
Then why did he take our bonga berries?
Your choices allowed Stryker to take your bongas, not Elo. But he's going to bring them back to life.
They both looked at the top of the tree, at the leaves half brown and black, burned by the evil.
Could anything come to life up there, ever again?
Wondered Walter.
I know, it's hard. But you've got to believe me.
Do you trust me?
Yes, I think so,
Walter answered slowly.
I want to,
added Jasmine.
By tomorrow morning, the price for your disobedience will be paid, and bonga berries will flourish again. If you choose to, and it is your choice, you'll be allowed to hear Elo's voice again. You can hang here existing, or you can find real life again. But you've got to trust me about this, and you've got to return to the tops of the trees tomorrow.
They both looked up 3 feet above their heads. It was such a short distance, but it would take them a long time to get there, and more energy than they had right now.
Elo,
Jasmine spoke to their creator, just in her thoughts, for the first time in months.
I want you more than anything. Please help us.
I've got more work to do. Whatever you do, don't forget. Elo really loves you. He still does.
Elikai sat alone now, atop the tallest tree, and looked down through the leaves at his creation hanging upside down from the branches, bearing the weight of their sinful hearts and choices. Even when they weren't being who he created them to be, in fact, quite opposite, he still loved them more than the entire world he had created. His heart ached for them to be as he created them, the fastest and most acrobatic animals in the rainforest. And even more, his friends. He missed watching them play in the waterfall, fly through the trees, and most of all, talk with him here at the top of the bonga berry tree. He would do anything to make his world right again. And he knew just what he had to do. Tiny cries sprang up from Elikai's chest. This time, sadness for what he was about to go through.
Walter, I want you to know me and hear my voice. Jasmine, I want to be your king and friend forever. I didn't create you pointlessly. I created you because I wanted to be with you. When you doubt me and choose to disobey by not trusting me and giving that berry to Stryker, it stopped you from hearing my voice. It caused you to die. You still exist, but you aren't living. And I want you back so badly. I want you to have life. I want to be your king again and watch you rule this rainforest by my side. And today, you will have the chance again.
He was able to look past the pain that was coming, and a smile covered his face.
Today, these bonka berries will return to life. The power of evil that destroyed them will be broken, and you can come here again to be with me. Please understand my love through this, dear friends.
As he finished speaking, He filled his lungs with air one last time and breathed out slowly across the rainforest canopy. Life flew from his lips across every treetop. The air left his lungs and stung. He wanted desperately to take in another breath, to fill his sloth lungs again. But more than that, he wanted to have Walter and Jasmine back. And the only way to do that, he knew, was to trade his life for theirs. To remove death and in its place give life, a life had to be given up to death, a payment, a sacrifice. His breath, the breath that created the rainforest, could be used to bring the dead Bonga trees back to life so that his dear Walter and Jasmine could find him again. Elikai lay lifeless. For a moment, nothing happened. But then, all around Elikai, one by one, leaves turned green, purple flowers bloomed, and new life was created. It had happened. Death of the Creator, the Authority, the Perfect One, had brought life. Elo sat at his desk, his head down upon it, drained of all energy. He had given his all, his life, to save his friends, and now he was alive again. His energy returned. He put down his red pen, picked up the green one again, closed his eyes, and entered back into his world. As Elo watched, a soft breeze blew through the forest, tickling Walter and Jasmine's fur. The sun rose and woke them gently.
Walter?
Jasmine was looking through the bright sunlight at the top of the trees, trying to spot Bonga berries.
Good morning, Jasmine. Do you remember what happened yesterday? Was that a dream?
Walter's sleepiness left him immediately.
The berries! Elo!
He shouted.
Elo, Shmilo!
They heard from below.
Oh no, not him again.
Why do you care about him? Don't you remember what he did to you when he took those Bonga berries from you and gave me this forest? Now, which one of you put someone up to covering the hole in my cave?
What are you talking about, Stryker? You know we are too slow to do anything like that.
That's why I want to know which one of you is responsible for getting someone else to do your dirty work. Now my Bonga tree can't grow anymore.
Your Bonga tree?
Yeah. If you'll help me remove the covering over the hole in my cave so that the tree can get light, I'll share the berries with ya.
It would take us hours to get down from this tree. And you think we can help you with that?
Well, I could bring you each one of my Bonga berries and then you'd have energy to help me.
Jasmine's tummy grumbled at the thought of a fresh Bonga berry. And it sure would be nice to have energy again.
Go away, Stryker,
Walter said with authority.
Okay, okay, but if you change your mind, send your little friend that covered the hole in my cave back by my place and I'll be right over with a couple of berries.
Bye, Stryker.
Bonga berries!
Jasmine's mouth was watering.
Jazz, remember? Elikai said we would have them at the treetops again this morning. He said Elo would bring them back to life. Maybe we could just get one from Stryker and then we can get to the treetops faster. No, Jasmine. That crazy Stryker got us into this mess in the first place. We can't believe him. He's bad news. Are you sure? Can Elo really be trusted? What if we can't make it to the top? Remember what Elo told us? Even when we can't hear him, he's always here. Ask him for help, Jazz. If he did bring the Bongas back to life, he'll give us strength to get them. I know he will. Elo, if you're there, please help us.
Jasmine whispered. Walter began to climb slowly and steadily, asking Elo for strength for each movement.
Yes, my friends, yes. Find life.
Elo called out to them, his voice only heard as a breeze. Slowly, steadily, they climbed.
Jazz! Look! It's real! For really real! I see bonga berries!
A burst of energy flooded both of the sloths, and within moments they ascended the last foot to the top of the tree.
Jazz?
Walter picked the first berry and handed it to her.
I'm sorry I've been so mean to you. Saying this was all your fault. It was mine too.
Jasmine ate while Walter picked another and put it in his mouth. A giant laugh boomed around the forest. The same laugh that had once filled even the plants and trees with happiness was back.
Elo!
Jasmine! Walter!
I'm so sorry, Elo.
I love you, I love you, I love you.
He said in a way that made her shame disappear.
Please forgive us for giving that berry to Stryker and not trusting you.
Yes, I have. Thank you for trusting me again.
Your love feels so good, Elo. I wish I could give you a big hug.
You can.
Jasmine turned to look behind her. There stood Elikai with arms open wide.
I love hugs. Elo? Elikai?
Jasmine, not sure who she was talking to exactly, jumped two branches straight into the arms of her rescuer, Walter only seconds behind.
It's me, Jasmine. Walter, your creator and your savior.
But how?
I came into the story as one of you to bring life to the bonga trees, to you.
Seriously? How did you do it?
I gave my life to take the punishment for your disobedience and lack of trust in me. Now that it's been paid for, nothing else can ever separate us again.
What about Stryker?
Good question. One day I will take care of him for good, but not today. He will never be allowed to destroy the bonga berries again.
You will always be able to know me.
And to me, Prince Walter and Princess Jasmine. Stryker isn't scary. He's just a big cat. He'll try his best to destroy you, but he can't. Not any longer. But that won't stop him from trying.
What do we do, Elo? Elikai? What do we call you?
I am both. You can call me whichever you like.
Can we call you I Am?
I love that. As long as you let it remind you that I am always with you. I am your creator. And I am always the ruler of this world. As far as what you need to do about that evil cat, I will fill you with life and truth that will fight off any lies Stryker wants to bother you with. Now, let's go take care of the rainforest, Prince. Princess.
Yes, sir.
And with a giant leap and a swing from branch to branch, that's just what they did. Friends, Walter and Jasmine did it. They trusted Elikai and got to meet Elo again at the top of the bonga trees. They received the gift Elikai gave them, and it completely changed them. Oh, and how happy it makes my heart getting to watch them hug Elo for the first time through the arms of Elikai. Friends, all of Elo's story is my attempt to help us to understand our story better. God, our Creator, made a beautiful world just for us. He made it for us to rule and have authority over the animals and the plants. It was a perfect gift. God created the first people, his most valuable creation, with the ability to think and make decisions on their own, just as he has with us too. But that ability allowed them, and us, to decide not to trust him. And when a liar came into God's story too, we call him Satan, the first people did make that choice to not trust him, to sin. Before we get too mad at them, though, we would have and still do the same thing. But before God even started writing our story, his story, he knew all of this would happen. And he made a plan to come into the world that his words created, give his own life to save it, by being punished for what we had done wrong, punished for us not trusting him. And when he did that, it opened up the only way for us to be close to God again. Just like Walter and Jasmine, we have to make a choice to trust God, to believe that what he did to bring us life really can bring us life. And we have to give up on our old dead way of living without him to receive that gift. Even in making that choice, God still holds the pen of our story. He's still in control as we, together with him, write our stories. It's the most beautiful story ever told, and we have a role in it. Friends, today, if something in Walter and Jasmine's story has helped you to understand God's big story and your need to trust him, would you talk to an adult who knows Jesus? Would you talk to them about that? Oh, how happy you will be trusting God to save you from the sin that rules in your heart. He loves you so very much. Thank you for joining me in this adventure with Elo, Walter, Jasmine, and Elikai. I hope you've enjoyed it even half as much as I have. I'll see you next time, friends. Bye-bye.